The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 6. Last week, we concluded, at least according to the words of God, unlike Disney, that there will be no dogs in heaven, and that's a good thing. I do sometimes wonder in the back of my mind if certain things that come out of media and the establishment aren't simply meant to be a challenge to the Word of God, because there'd be a lot of kids that are running around thinking all dogs go to heaven, and the Bible says no dogs go to heaven. And I know there's a play on words there, but just to remind you, Disney does not have the final word on the matter. For God, there will be no tongue waggers and no naysayers in heaven. And I don't know about you, but that's going to make heaven just an amazing place in and of itself. Nobody there to put things down. Everything will always be positive, uplifting, God-focused, and God-centered. We'll continue looking at dogs this morning, and we'll throw pigs in there for the mix. But what is important is to make sure we stay within the context of the chapter here. Now, we're in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount. And in chapter 7, the first five verses there deal with about judging and judging rightly or wrongly. Now, some people wrongly conclude out of this that according to verse 1, you simply shouldn't judge, period. That's wrong. We can make up all kind of words. We can call it baloney. We can use a Bible word. We can call it dung. Error, or maybe that's just something people want to see in it. You know, if the Bible says you shall not judge, you can't say anything about what I'm doing. But that's not what Jesus said at all. When you look at it within the context, judge not that you be not judged, verse 2 sets it up. The judgment that you judge will be how you're judged. In other words, when you do make judgments, they are to be righteous judgments. You're not to excuse yourself. That's the habit of many. Well, it's okay in my situation because I just can't do things like that. But you're supposed to. Well, no. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. Something that we may reply with there. But it's how we judge, and we're not supposed to judge unrighteously. Well, it's one of our family members, and so we go easy on them because they're our blood. No, if it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. It doesn't matter if you're blood or if they're not blood. Doesn't matter if they sit in the pew with you at church or don't sit in the pew with you at church. Right's right, wrong's wrong. Make a right judgment. But Jesus also added, make sure before you start picking specks out of other people's eyes, that you don't have a big old log in your own eye. Bad part is, if you got a big old beam in your own eye and you're trying to get something out of somebody, a speck out of somebody else's eye, they're going to have more splinters after you're done than they had when you tried to help them. Because as you poke them with your own beam, that log in your own eye, you're going to leave all kind of dust and crumbs and splinters from your own beam in your eye. In that context, in verse 6, Jesus says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Whatever we say has to fall in line with what Jesus has been teaching. Now, it would be really easy for us just to take this one verse and pull it completely out of its context and still be able to preach what most would consider a good, faithful message. But on the heels of what Jesus was teaching in verses 1 through 5, Jesus is teaching us in verse 6 to use discretion. And discretion is a big part of judgment. The big word I want to introduce you to, again, is discretion. And you should not be afraid to use discretion. Now, we can make light of it in some ways. I go to the buffet. If there are black-eyed peas on the buffet, I'm going to discreetly choose something else. I'm going to pass them up. They don't minister to me. They don't help me. If that was maybe all there was, you might have me over a barrel. But beyond that, I'm going to pick things that I prefer, things that taste good to me. In some cases, I'm still trying to learn to eat more things. And so I found out at least if you go to Golden Corral and you get the Brussels sprouts, if you eat them with their pot roast, with the carrots and potatoes, they don't taste half bad. I'm not saying I want a whole bowl of them, but if you put them in the right gravy, they're tolerable. I haven't been able to do that with black-eyed peas. But all of us, we use discretion. All of us do different things. You don't think about it this way, but the kind of music you listen to. The choices you make about the music you listen to. Not everybody listens to the same kind of Christian music. Some people prefer bluegrass. Some people like gospel. Some people like I don't know how metal music could form into Christian music, but I know when I was growing up in the 70s, we were warned about Petra. They were hard rock, and I'm listening to Petra these days. I'm thinking, like, I understand why they said it was hard rock, because what you was coming out of the 60s and the 50s, it sounded like rock, but Petra ain't got nothing on some of the things that followed after that. But it's discretion. It's a word that we use. We should not be afraid to use discretion when we speak, knowing when to speak, when not to speak, when to act, when not to act. And there are examples of this. Discretionary spending, you hear that used in political talk all the time. What do they mean by discretionary spending? That's spending that's non-essential. It's not mandated. And so if you have discretionary spending in your own budget, it's something that if you don't spend the money on it, you will be fine. You really won't miss it. It might be a want, but it's not a need. And so that's discretionary spending in our government. If it's mandated, that's mandated spending. They have to put the money on it, irregardless of political affiliation. Discretionary spending, they can say no. Discretion when using a tool. Not everything requires a sledgehammer. The plumber I used to work with in New Orleans, he had one tool for opening up a wall. It was a sledgehammer. I was like, busy, we can do this a little bit neater for the guys that come behind us. I ain't worried about the sheetrock. I mean, he just start wailing on that wall with a 5-pound. He knocked the hole really quick. You could find the leak really quick. We could pair the leak really quick. The guys coming behind us weren't always happy because they could always tell where busy had been. I mean, the sledgehammer is not necessary. Sometimes you need a chipping tool, and so we might say finesse rather than brawn. We don't need a bull in the china closet, we might say. What about discretion when baking? Does everything really need the temperature to be really hot and cook it really fast? Not if you're a good cook. Sometimes you turn the temperature down and you cook it a lot longer and it makes it a whole lot better. Well, if a little is good, why not a lot, right? Yeah, cook your brownies on 500 and see what happens. They won't be brownies, they'll be Bernies, okay? They might even turn into hockey pucks. Who knows? We use discretion when buying an automobile. Are you driving through the snow, the sand, the mud? You're going to be on the highway or off-road. You need something that's economical as far as gas, or something because of what you're doing. Gas mileage doesn't matter. We make discretions of all kinds. But too often when it comes to religion, we're scared of making discretionary decisions because somebody's going to throw out there, don't you be judging. That ain't what Jesus said. Jesus told us here not to give that which is holy to the dogs, not to cast our pearls before swine. I got to know the difference between a dog, a pig, and everything else, right? That means I've got to make a judgment. Now we're going to be discretionary about those judgments, and we're going to make sure we're not excusing ourselves. A cop who's late for work speeding so that they can punch in on time is just as wrong as anybody else speeding to get to work on time and hopefully punch in before they get too bad late. Why could the cop get away with it as opposed to the normal human being? I think it's a good idea for bosses to be on time if they demand that their employees be on time. Now that's me. Not all owners or bosses agree with that. But if you're going to really nitpick everybody else's time card and yet you show up at leisure, you're not setting a good example. And all you're really doing is creating conflict within the workplace. You get to set your own hours, but it would be wise to show some kind of leadership in that. We are not to judge wrongly is what Jesus tells us, especially when it comes to ourselves. You've all heard the expression, don't point your finger at somebody because you got 3 pointing back, so I get away with that. Make sure somebody's standing to my left, and when I point at them, I get them, I get the person I'm talking to, and then if I want to, I can blame God. Huh? Wrong. Well, I can blame him. Adam did. It's that woman you gave me, God. Job did. You come down here, and I'll set you straight, God. But again, if you do your hand right, you blame everybody else but yourself. And we're good about that. We're really good about making everybody else the problem. So when we do show discretion, when we do use judgment, we must do it correctly. So Jesus then tells us, we're going to look at this a little closer, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. We have to go all the way back to Exodus for some of this to begin to make sense to us, we don't want to jump right off the bat to calling people dogs, although we're going to be calling people dogs before we're done. We did it last week. We'll do it today. But there is a foundation that God lays in His law for dogs. And besides the fact that you can't eat them because they got paws and not hooves, and because they don't have split hooves like the cattle. In Exodus chapter 22 and verse 31, "You shall be holy men unto me," that means set apart, "neither shall you eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. You shall cast it to the dogs." So according to God's covenant with His people, for whatever reason God has decreed, if something in the field, even if you watch a wolf kill a deer, God told His people, you can't eat that deer. It was killed by other beasts. That is not for you to eat. You can give it to the dogs. When you look in Deuteronomy chapter 14, this is when the little bit of a, not a monkey wrench is thrown into the mix, but you see why it could be referring to human beings. In Deuteronomy 14 and verse 21, I've got that one too. "You shall not eat of anything that dies of itself." And I like that. He didn't have to go any further for me. But some people, you know. "You shall give it to the stranger that is in your gates. He may eat it, or you may sell it to the alien. For you are a holy people unto the Lord your God." In other words, it's not for you, my covenant people. Other people can eat it. Give it to the stranger sitting in your gate. Sell it to the... You can make money off of it if you want to. And so if we look at Exodus and Deuteronomy in conjunction, throw it to the dogs could also mean sell it to the stranger. Whatever you understand it as, it's not for His people to eat of. Talking about the dogs. You're familiar with the concept of that which is holy. If you were to look in 1 Samuel chapter 21 and it... How many Sundays ago we were looking through 1 Samuel on Sunday nights? You can go back and look this story up fuller. David's on the run from Saul. And so David goes up to the tabernacle because the temple hasn't been built yet. And he's looking for food. And he basically knocks on the door of the tent. And the priest comes out and David says, "I need some food. What food do you have there?" And he says, "The only food I have is the bread that was consecrated to the Lord." David says, basically, "We'll take it." And the priest, remember what he says? "This is holy bread. Only can the men have it if they have not been with women." David said, "We've been on the run for 3 days. No women been in our thing." The priest said, "Okay." Now what he's underscoring here is holy bread can only be used for set apart use. It is not normal. It is not typical. You wouldn't take the bread out of the tabernacle and go sell it at the street market. You wouldn't even throw it to the dogs. Why? It's holy bread. It's sanctified bread. It has been set apart. And so we even see in David's life how that which is set apart could only be used in specific circumstances. However, in Psalm 22, verse 16, as the psalmist writes, and it's a psalm of David, as he looks forward through the ages in chapter 22 and verse 16 at the crucifixion, "For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and feet." And you can find that in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, by the way. All of those passages relate to this. Notice what he says is surrounding him? Dogs. Well, when you get to the crucifixion and Jesus is hanging on the cross, you've got the Romans and you've got the religious leaders. Prophetically, looking through time, he has just called the religious leaders dogs. And that's not going to surprise you then in Philippians 3:2, when Paul is warning about the Judaizers. Now here he calls them the concision. These are the people that would come in behind everywhere Paul taught, and they would say, "Okay, you've trusted in Jesus, but you got to be circumcised. You got to have that to go to heaven." Paul's not even going to call them circumcision anymore. They're just of the cutters. Does you absolutely no good as far as getting you heaven. But notice what he lumps them with. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. He lumps them all together. So we've got a foundation laid. We don't eat meat that was torn of itself. We can feed it to dogs, but dogs takes on a whole nother meaning throughout Scripture. And as we looked at last week, it's naysayers, those people that are constantly nagging at your feet, just barking, making all kind of noise, not doing anything really good. Here we find that they are an obnoxious, rebellious group of people. people that really aren't interested in the truth. He moves from dogs in general to dogs specific, and in this case, give not that which is holy, that which is set apart by God, it's sacred, give it not to people that are naysayers. Give it not to the unclean, those that, man, they're just interested in eating anything and everything that comes their way. I want you to think about that as far as application. I'm not ready to get to application yet. We're going to look at pigs first. What would happen if any given preacher stood up on any given Sunday and told his church, some of you in here are dogs and pigs? Number one, would they recognize the reference? Number two, would they be offended? Somebody made a post on X this week in the religious section, and I'm amazed in the stunned sense, fascinated by in the I can't believe what I'm seeing sense, but people that would be upset about how we preach here, that on the cross Jesus shed his blood to die in our place to pay for our sin, they're trying to come up with a cross that is bloodless. They don't like the cross and the blood being talked about. That's not good. But what's happening is these people are beginning to desire a message other than what's in the scripture. And what did Paul say would happen in the latter days? They're going to raise up teachers that'll tell them what they want to hear. A bloodless salvation. No, without the shedding of blood, there's what? No remission of sins. The guiltless died for the guilty. He stood in our place. There are dogs out there. It's not going to surprise me if they get louder and louder in one of these days or even here, if not already here in Moss Bluff. But he says, don't give that which is holy to the dogs, neither give your pearls before swine. What are pearls? Depends on which kind you got. Some of them are made in the lab today. You know, they're fake pearls. They're pearls, but they're fake pearls. What made pearls so important in the Old Testament times or in the olden days before modern technology was they were rare. And what I mean by rare was, unless you pulled one up out of the ocean and opened up an oyster, which a Jew is not going to be eating, by the way, once you pull it up and find the pearl, you would have to have a bunch of them to make a string of pearls to make a necklace. And so when we read in Matthew chapter... That's not right. We're in Matthew. Look in chapter 13. Collect my thoughts here. Matthew chapter 13. I'm trying to get ahead of myself and I don't want to do that. In chapter 13, verse 45 and 46, Jesus, speaking in the kingdom parables, says in verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. When he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. You can buy a whole string of pearls now. You can buy chocolate pearls, you can buy pink pearls, you can, and all flavors in between. But that's because they're lab grown or they've got certain pearl farms and they put certain grains of whatever inside these mollusks to create the pearls that they want. In biblical days, nope, if you got a pearl, you were probably somewhere near the ocean. You'd been traveling, talking with some kind of salesman or whatever. Pearls were a very precious treasure because they were not popular in the sense of plentiful. Don't cast your pearls before pigs. Why would you throw pearls to pigs? I mean, in the real sense, pigs will eat anything, but they don't eat rocks. And what is the pearl? It's basically a rock of a sort. It's calcium or whatever. I don't even know what a pearl actually is. I know if you hit it hard enough with a hammer, you can shatter the thing. But there's nothing in a pearl that would be good for a pig. What's important for you to remember is these aren't cute, cuddly pigs now. These are more like our feral pigs. If you ever walk out into your yard at morning or night and you see a group of these feral pigs roaming through, please don't mess with them. They're not going to let you pet them. They're not cute to get close to. Pigs bite. Pigs eat. They don't eat pearls, but they will eat human flesh. They'll eat anything dead in between, too, by the way. They'll clean anything off the road that they can get onto. And that's more akin to our feral hogs or more like what they're talking about here. hogs and dogs that both like to eat trash. Is a pig going to care that it's pearls? No, not when we're talking about it, no more than a dog would. I mean, your dog comes bouncing in your house. I got you a string of pearls. Oh, your little dog shaking his tail, not because of the pearls, just because you're talking to him. It wouldn't matter. I mean, you could give him a little necklace with a Barney hanging on it. It's just another chew toy, okay? Pearls mean nothing to a dog. It has no idea about expense, no idea about treasures. But these pigs, notice he says they will trample them under their feet, but then they'll turn again and tear you to pieces. You know, you've heard the stories. Somebody went missing near a pig farm. If the stories I've read on the internet are true, you check the DNA in the pig and you find human DNA, then we know exactly what they've been eating. But that's the concept here. These pigs will eat anything. They will turn and rend you. They will have no respect for what you are. In Isaiah chapter 65, and it was a little bit longer than I could put in one slide, so I'm going to read it to you. God actually hones in on this concept. In Isaiah chapter 65, he's speaking to a rebellious people. In Isaiah 65 verse 2, I've spread out my hands all the day into a rebellious people, which walk in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provokes me to anger continually to my face. That sacrificing gardens, you're supposed to sacrifice at the temple. They burn incense upon altars of brick. The only incense that was to be burned was in the temple. Which remain among the graves. Graves defile. They weren't supposed to be dwelling amongst the graves. They lodge in the monuments. They eat swine's flesh. And broth of abominable things is in their vessels. And abominable things would be like catfish, shrimp, critters that we're not supposed to eat. It might have been dog, pig, those kinds of things. God says, which say, stand by yourself, come not near to me, for I am holier than you. These people that do this say to others that come near them, I'm holier than you are, don't come near me. And God's sitting there like flabbergasted. What do you mean you're holy? These are a smoke in my nose. Y'all remember playing around a fire when you were a little kid? It's all fun and games until the smoke runs up your nose, right? Chokes you out, tears begin to run down. God says about these people, they're smoke in my nose. They're a fire that burns all day. In other words, there's constant smoke and constant irritation. That's what God thinks about these people and the pigs that they're eating. Pigs were forbidden as unclean under the law. And what we see here is then a rebellious, unclean people. To these, Jesus says, do not give what is holy and do not cast your treasures. Ecclesiastes chapter, I forgot to put it on there. Oh, there it is. I didn't. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There's a time to what? A time to keep silent. But there's also a time to speak. There's a time to do one or the other. We might say it like this. During the sermon, it's a time for most people in the pew to what? Keep silent so Brother Luke can talk. But if I stood in the pulpit and didn't say anything, y'all would say, no, there's a time to speak, Brother Luke. There's a time to speak. There is a time to keep silent. In Matthew chapter 13, we find that parables conceal and parables reveal. Jesus said, I use parables for two reasons. I use parables to reveal truth to you, the disciples, but to hide truth from others. So Jesus is going to be talking in public, but he chooses who can hear, see, and understand what his message is. Also in Matthew chapter 13, he makes a statement that he hid these truths from the wise, but he revealed them unto babies. So those people that were self-sufficient, he hides the truth. To those people that come to Jesus like a child, no preconceived ideas, no facades, just open and honest, he reveals truth. And then you'll remember he told his disciples, when they go out, if you go into a city and they don't receive you, kick the dust off your feet and keep walking. Jesus is putting before us here, there are some people, no matter how good the news, they're going to find something to complain about. Jesus says, there are some people, no matter how much you help them, they're going to always find something wrong with what you've done. Jesus says, don't. Let that sink in for a moment. There are times where we're not supposed to tell people good news. And there's a time when we're not supposed to do good things for people because they fall into the category of dogs or pigs. Now, we can't use this as, well, if they're not me, they're dogs and pigs, and so I'm not doing anything to help anybody anywhere at any time. That's not what Jesus is saying. But you've run into people in your life. I usually use my illustration this. There are these kind of people, you give them a $100 bill, and they're going to gripe because you gave it to them in a $100 bill instead of 20s. Jesus says, don't help them. There are some people, I agree with what you're saying, I just don't like how you're saying it. That's nothing new under the sun. Jesus says, don't give that which is holy to the dogs. Don't cast your pearls before swine. I can't tell you how many people I have shared with about using a sinus rinse and gargling. It's good for your allergies. It's good to keep from getting sick. The druggist where I go into, they're always asking me about, because I come in and buy two bottles at a time. They keep it on the shelf for me. They're used to seeing me in there. They said, I got to tell you, this lady said, I got to tell you, I was really sick one weekend. We were getting ready for a family wedding, and I couldn't shake this no matter what medicine I took. And I remembered, this guy comes in that buys this bottle of stuff all the time. She says, what did I have to lose? She tried it. She is completely sold on it now. She's telling anybody who will listen, everybody who will listen. You know how hard it is to get people that feel like they're healthy to start using that? There are people that are sick. If the doctor recommends, I ain't sticking that up my nose. If you're not going to do what the doctor told you, why are you at the doctor? I mean, how many times you wish you could say that to the patient, huh? If you're not going to do what we tell you, why are you showing up? Basically, what you're doing is giving that which is holy to the dogs. You're wasting your time when you could be helping people who really genuinely have a desire to get better. I was so excited that finally somebody was like, man, I've been doing it. And she is hook, line, and sinkered. He's got to keep an extra bottle for her when she buys some. But she's like, this is great. Her allergies relieved for that wedding. She felt great. And it was beyond all the medicines she had tried. And that's what I like about the sinus rinsing, is because it really is not a medicine. Basically, what you're doing is taking things God made. You're putting it in a solution that makes it tolerable for you. And it really is a highly effective, should you choose to go that route. But not everybody's going to listen. So I kind of try to be a little more discreet about it. If somebody's really having issues and they're open to suggestions, I'll share it with them. Now, if not, keep your hands off my stuff. When I go down to the pharmacy, I want the bottle of stuff there if I need it. I don't want somebody having a whole bottle sitting on their shelf. They never used it. No, you're getting in my way, right? Kind of reminds me of the parable of the soils. There are four kinds of grounds in the parable. There's the path. It's hard ground. There's the stony soil. It's full of rocks. There's the thorny soil. You know what that's full of? It's full of thorns. Then you've got the good soil. How many good farmers walk out into the field with their good seed and spread it all on the path? How many good farmers take it and spread it among the rocks? Would you sow it among the thorns? No, in the way that they sowed, some of it landed there, but you didn't put the vast majority of your seed in the bad soils. You wanted it to get in the good soil because that's the only way you're going to have something back. These dogs and these pigs, they represent the first three kinds of soil. They're going to give you nothing good. Not everything that you know needs to be shared. Not everybody will be appreciative of what you share with them. In fact, some of them, they're going to turn around and make you look like a fool. They're going to make you feel like an idiot, if not worse, because of what you've done to try to help them. So now hear clearly. No matter how much you love and want good for someone, there's a time for you to stop giving that which is holy to them. there is a time for you to stop casting your pearls before them. There is a time even to shake the dust off your feet, even when you love them. In other words, there's a time to be silent. Wouldn't it be great if Jesus practiced what he taught? Wouldn't it? I mean, we all need a teacher that actually does what he says. Jesus was hauled in before Herod. How many questions of Herod did Jesus answer? I'll give you a hint. It's between zero and zero. He didn't answer a single question that Herod asked him. Could Jesus have answered every question? Oh, Jesus would have more than been sufficient to answer Herod's questions. But he would have been casting his pearls before swine. He would have been giving that which is holy to the dogs. And he did not. He showed discretion. Even when you rightly judge, there may be no need for you to speak, to share, or to even help. But if you choose to do so, can I as politely and calmly as I can say, drop the act of being surprised or hurt? And I felt so strongly about this, I wrote it again. Drop the act. Jesus already told you what's going to happen. I can't believe they did that. Jesus said, if you give that which is holy to the dogs, and if you cast your pearls before swine, they're going to reject it. And at worst case, if they're pigs, they may try to make you feel lower than the dirt you're standing on. Why are you shocked? I can't believe they did that. Are you not listening to Jesus? When you do that with dogs and pigs, this is what's going to happen. Yeah, but I care about them. You don't care about that person more than Jesus cared about this world. You're not willing to die on the cross for them. Jesus died for us. There comes a time, and by the way, this is the harder part. We're not talking, hopefully I'm not talking to a lot of pigs and dogs out here. We're going to cover that in just a moment. Right now is, there are times where we simply need to shut up. They're not listening. They're not responding. And what I mean by responding, anything, the more you do, the more agitated they become and the more negative they become. And before long, you're both all worked up in a tizzy. Jesus said, I already told you, they're going to trample your pearls under their feet and they're going to turn again and rend you. I mean, I realize you've got great news. Go find somebody who likes great news. And you... the latest thing that popped through and you're just so excited about it, but you know if you explain it to somebody else, they're just going to be all brr about it, but you say, I'm going to give them one more chance. You do it, they're just brr about it, and then you're like, oh, I can't believe they were. It's a single, simple principle. Use discretion when you share what is holy and your treasures. I must be stepping on some feet because y'all got way too quiet. You knew the threat. You took the risk anyway. Get over their response. Look, we want things the way we want them. We're more upset because we didn't get the way we want it than the fact that, why did we even share that with them anyway? We knew what they were going to do with it. We knew what they were going to do with it. It's like, you go buy the worst cut of meat. This time, if you cook it on the same temperature, the same way, you're hoping it'll come out tender. You got to try something new. Talk to somebody else that's like, you know what? I can tell you, here's how you can do it. Now, if you ask somebody for help and they tell you, try it. At least try it. Because if you come to me enough times and I give you, try this, try this, try this, and you don't try anything, next time you come, I'm going to say, why should I give you any other thing else? You don't do anything I tell you anyway. Leave me be. Let me go about my own business. You made your own bed, go sleep in it. That's not Christian, Brother Luke. Jesus says, don't give that which is holy unto the dog. You calling me a dog? I might be. Might even be calling you a swine. I might be. They're all kind of people. Oh, I need help. No, I don't want that kind of help. Then you don't want help. I'm drowning, but you came up in the wrong color boat. What's the color of the boat got to do with whether they save you from drowning? In our society, only in America can people get upset because we give you money free for food, but we tell you you can't buy Cokes and chips with it. What kind of nonsense is it? If somebody's giving you free money, but they say you can't buy this, either give the money back or at least buy what you can. Wouldn't it be sad if God stopped a pastor from giving his congregation that which is holy and that which is pearls because the church was full of dogs and pigs? I actually wrote that down, and I know where we're going to head to in just a moment. How do we know the difference then between dogs and pigs? Just watch their behavior. A dog's going to give himself away. He's always yapping and he'll eat anything. The pigs, they give themselves away. There's not much they won't eat. They obviously don't eat pearls, but they'll also eat their feeder. Yeah, I remember watching Somewhere Over the Rainbow, Wizard of Oz. Why it was so important to get Dorothy out of the pig's pen before the pigs got a hold of her? Because if the pigs had got a hold of Dorothy, there would have been no trip to Oz. There'd only been a trip to the meat market. And she would have gone passively. Pigs will do that. Pigs will turn on their owner. You're trying to help a family member. You're trying to help a friend. You're trying to help a stranger. When you recognize they're a dog or a pig, just stop. Just stop. I wonder if God ever did that, besides Jesus and Herod. Wouldn't it be interesting if God himself reached a point where he says, I ain't talking no more. Glad you asked. The book of Amos chapter 8 verse 11. God tells his people, behold, there's coming a day, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. A famine, not of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. That's the worst kind of condemnation you can have. You've got food, you've got water, what else do you need? God says, I ain't saying anything. We call that the intertestamental period. Basically, for 400 years, God did not speak to a prophet or a messenger. And that should grieve us rather than just simply make us look in awe and wonder. We should be like, whoa, that a people can actually reach the point of such hardness, stubbornness, and callousness that God says, I ain't talking to none of y'all. 400 years. You see why it was such an amazing thing when a prophet finally showed up? When John the Baptist steps out, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, everybody went running out there. Well, yeah, God hadn't said anything for 400 years. Now a prophet's standing up. We got to go hear what he's saying. Now, the people loved what John was preaching. The religious leaders, he doesn't call them dogs or pigs. You remember what he calls religious leaders? You brood of vipers. Who warned you of the judgment to come? Put them in the camp of dogs and pigs, not different brood of vipers. These things are aggressively biting and stinging and killing people. A famine of the word of the Lord. People didn't want to hear the word. God got quiet. Can I ask really carefully? Has God ever quit talking to you? Say, Brother Luke, you're calling me a dog and a pig again. I might be. I might be. Okay, I can use different words. You're stubborn and you're recalcitrant. Stiff-necked rebel. You prefer those? No, it means you're sitting there with your fingers in your ears. Go ahead, God, tell me. Like a little kid doesn't want to hear what mom and dad has to say. Y'all remember what it's like to be a teenager? Your mom and dad fix to give you a lecture. You just you hone in on something on their face and just... Oh, you hear every word they said, but you didn't take in a single word they said. Because you're smarter than they are and you know more than they know, right? How many prayers of ours go up to God's ears, but we don't get an answer because we don't want His answer, really? Oh, we'll talk about it, but we really don't want the answer because God may yell down from heaven, "Stop!" Was that the old Bob Newhart show a long time ago? This lady went in for counseling. It's somewhere on the YouTube. Come in, she was doing this thing. He said, "I've got a cure for that." She said, "What's that?" "Stop it!" She takes another route in the counseling session. He says, "I've got another word for you there. Stop it!" And the whole thing is like that. She wanted to be ta-ta'd. She wanted to be modern I can't even say a good word there. She wanted them to use modern psychotherapy on her, and that meant just coddle them through whatever they were going through. And basically, stop it was sufficient enough. Just stop it. And now God is speaking this to the people, and you can't help but wonder how many people in His day and time were frustrated. They were trying to reach the lost. They were trying to reach the stubborn. They were trying to reach the pigs and the swine. And God said, "Stop. Use your noodle. Look what you're dealing with." That's what He told His disciples when He says, "Kick the feet off, dust off your feet." When you walk into a city and they reject you, use your noodle. Kick the dust off your feet. Don't stay there. Don't fight. Move on. I heard it this week and I was so impressed that a person would look somebody else in the eye and say, "Look, this ain't even up for discussion. We've already discussed it. You're not going to persuade me. Let's move on." And they got up and walked out, and I'm thinking, like, whoa, that's how to stop an argument. I mean, that's just poof. Jesus says, "Don't give that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast you your pearls before swine." Can I also say we need to be careful of what leadership we follow, what musicians we listen to? Because when we can't throw our money at them fast enough to buy their shirts and their necklaces and their music and stuff, basically what we're doing is we're giving our treasure to the pigs and the dogs. We've got to use better discretion. They can hide things from us for so long, but the sad part is when other Christians don't speak up when they know. Then sometimes when we do speak up, "What's wrong with that?" Yeah. Use discretion with who you share that which is holy with. God shows you some great insight into the Word. Be careful who you share that with, because some people, they're not going to receive it in the same joy that you've got it. And they're not receiving it with joy are going to squash your own joy. They will. They can't be happy for you. And in some cases, even worse, they're going to make you feel like a fool for even having opened your mouth. The pigs turn and trample you. They're not going to want you just go away unhappy. They want to destroy you. They don't want you opening your mouth again. What does Jesus say? Judge wisely. Again, it's not an excuse not to share. But we also need to be careful with who we share. Because there are people out there that no matter how good you've got something to give them, they will not be receptive. When we look through the Gospels, all four of them, and you watch Jesus' interaction with the religious leaders, He was always abrasive with them. He said, "You're what Isaiah prophesied. Eyes you can't see, ears you can't hear. You have closed your eyes, therefore God has hardened you." Might I say, if God's hardened somebody's heart and blinded them and clogged their ears up, there ain't a word you can say that's going to change them. Can you imagine being Isaiah? God says, "Who's going to go for me?" And Isaiah's jumping up there, "Pick me, pick me." Now, he's the only one there to be picked, so it's obvious he got picked. He was willing to go, and then God said, "Here's your message. You're going to go and preach and teach all these things, but I want you to know this, the people aren't going to be receptive. They're going to have eyes that see, but they won't see. They're going to have ears that hear, they're not going to hear. They're going to have hearts that are not fallow, but hardened." That's your ministry, Isaiah. Man, can you imagine pouring his life into that here in the New Testament, what does Jesus tell us through his disciples? Be discreet about who you share that which is holy with, number one. There are some people, no matter how much God ministered to you through some words of a song or through the words of a verse, when you share it, it's going to be pointless and meaningless to them, and it's going to steal some of your joy because I thought they would be as excited as I was. Jesus says, don't share it with them. And then when it comes to the pigs, we say, you can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a what? It's still a pig. You can put pearls around the neck of a pig. It's still a pig. But there's something worse in their nature. They'll turn around and they'll rend you. Be wise. Be wise. Two really easy things this morning. You're trying to reach a dog and a pig? Stop. No wonder you're losing your joy. No wonder your head hurts. No wonder you're frustrated. You're trying to do what Jesus said, don't do. That's what he said, ain't it? Don't do this. Number two, don't be afraid to make biblical judgments using biblical wisdom. There is a time to speak and there's a time to refrain from speaking. Then I will add this third one. Make sure the problem's not there when it's here. Jonah. The problem wasn't Nineveh. The problem was Jonah's heart. Nineveh was the case where they might have called them pigs and swine, but when they heard the word, they repented. And Jonah wasn't happy about that. We need to look within our own selves, even while we make discretionary judgments about that which is on the outside. And I thought through this, what if there are things that God wouldn't show me because Westside wouldn't receive them? That'd be really sad. What if there are things God won't show you because if you share it with me, I would be a pig or a dog? That would be really sad. Our attitude ought to be, Lord, if you say it's good for us, they're black-eyed peas, Lord, but if you say they're good for me, I'll eat them. I mean, really. If God says it's good for you, it's good for you. Who knew there was so much about dogs? Next week we'll keep talking about them. Father in heaven, as we come